Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. If you can't make our live show, we have an audio-only version. You can find that on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps. With us tonight is iPhone Jedi Matt Evans. Hey, Matt.
Greetings.
Also joining us is iMac connoisseur Roy Slipinski. Hey, Roy.
Good evening.
Also joining us is host of Cooking with Tim, Chef Tim Van Claveren. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
Also, our director tonight is Joe Meacham. Welcome, Joe.
Hello.
So, tonight we will be discussing space and
the final,
Virgin.
The final frontier.
The final, yes.
That which billionaires go on a bold new journey.
Billionaires only. Billionaire. It's the billionaires club up there.
The battle of the billionaires.
Is it a new journey?
For them it is.
I guess that's true.
It's one of the few things they haven't been able to spend money on before, I guess.
They want to be the first one to own a piece of space. That's what it's all about.
I want to be one of the first ones to own a piece of space. I'll buy a random planet in the middle of nowhere in some no-name galaxy for like a dollar. Or 10. Or 100. I'd pay $100 for a planet, give it to my kids, and then like millions of generations from now, they just have a whole planet. Let's go.
Yeah, this is... Matt, you're honestly sounding like one of the pioneers of cryptocurrency. Like, yeah, I'll buy a Bitcoin. My kids can have it later.
You don't know how right you are, because I've been like studying cryptocurrency for the past 2 weeks. So
it's not worth it.
I probably have it on the brain.
I did that shit 3 years ago. It's not worth.
I feel you, man. I feel you. I hear you. You are heard. Matt, you were interested in what was going on with, what was it, Virgin Galactic specifically? They had like a launch this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, so they launched, they did their launch last weekend, or last Sunday, this last weekend, and it was successful. They went up above. I was more interested about the design, because we've been to space. That's obviously, we've been to space. But this looked like a whole new type of design for a shipwide. Mm-hmm. The ship basically, or the aircraft, basically had two wings, or basically two ships or airplanes that were kind of combined together, and then inside the center of it was the spaceship. And that basically took them up to an altitude, a certain altitude, and then when they reached that altitude, they released the spaceship, and the spaceship, you know, free fell for about, you know, 10-15 seconds, and then the engine engaged, and then took off up to outer space. So it was a different design, and that's what I was most interesting about. I'm also kind of interested to see the capsule. I think
the Blue Origin capsule,
yeah, which is coming up, but I think that's still, again, I think it was the design that was different from it.
Yeah, like the design was really, really interesting. Like looking at this giant like bird of a ship, airplane, docked with a spaceship, it kind of hooks in underneath, and both this combined mothership unit like flies up, like you said, like 50,000 feet in the air or something, and then launches a rocket from like near space into space. It was
a lot. The other thing too is it like generates wings, or I don't know how the wings really worked, because I didn't really see, but it basically lands on the same runway that it took off from, which I just thought was interesting too, because again, it's going to be reusable into another one. So, and I think that, I mean, that's good that we're making reusable spacecrafts instead of, you know, spending all this money to build one to take off and then, you know, land in the Pacific Ocean or whatever, whatever it does when it comes back. But it was very interesting. I didn't realize that they were only going to be up there for like a few minutes before they come down like that. Just, I mean,
I think like round trip is like 50 minutes and they get a handful of minutes like to experience weightlessness.
Yeah, they were up there for like 2 minutes. So they had 2 minutes of weightlessness and they got to look out the windows and basically see our planet, you know, the shape that it's in. So I think it was definitely it was definitely an interesting experience. And I look forward to seeing the capsule, you know, design and how that's going to launch. I'm not too excited about the billionaires that are going to space because, again, I don't think in any of our lifetime we'll be able to afford to go. Even if you drop it down to $50,000, like, I mean, that's a lot of money. Like,
that's down payment, you know, on a house.
You know, so the future generation,
really?
Yeah, in maybe, you know, 50 years might be able to afford it, but, you know, we will be probably long gone or, you know, lost interest by then. So it'd be interesting to see kind of where it goes. I just wish it was more reasonable afforded for cool people like that.
As it becomes more popular, I think it's going to go down in price as it becomes more feasible and
again, but not in our lifetime, Tim.
It could. You
know, I mean,
what other companies are going to pick this up? This is not like a software development where immediately a bunch of other people can do it, right?
You're not going to have Alaska Airlines flying to outer space. You know, it's going to be these specialty retail or these specialty airlines or whatever they're going to call them, spacecrafts, you know, that are going to go up there. And it's literally going to be probably 50 years from now before it drops in price. Like, I mean, Virgin is already scheduled to go again. They have three more test flights, I think. And then they've already been approved by the FAA to do commercial flights. So, you know, they can sell the tickets now and they can start getting people on the wait list. But again, it's not going to be anytime soon for us. It's going to be like Disneyland, where it was super expensive at the beginning, you know, and could be 50 years from now before, you know, we're allowed.
What are you thinking, Tim?
I'm just saying that
side note, I'm just picturing right now Futurama in one of the first episodes where they go to the moon and it's like an amusement park. and like Fry's like blown away that's the moon, everyone else is like, it's the moon.
So it sounds like Virgin Galactic, first of all, stole this idea of having their space plane detached from regular plane from Fast 9. Because, I mean,
wow,
they did this in Fast 9. I'm just saying, you strap some booster rockets onto a car.
Wow.
They went into space.
Clutch reference.
I wish I was making that up. That is literally a scene.
Before we move
if they can do it in the movies, I mean, you know, seal the windows up. Good to go.
Before we move too far past that, one of the most inspirational things I was ever told in my high school career was that reality is inspired by fiction. So that I think there could be some truth to that. Like, people see these things happening and they're inspired to try to create that. So I don't think you're too far off, Roy.
Thank you.
So
next time they steal your catalytic converter, Tim, we'll just strap some rockets on it and fly to the moon.
We'll just repurpose your car. Matt, fun fact, I looked it up on Google, but in 1910 was the first ever commercial flight, and that cost $400, and with inflation
That's about $11,000 back then. Now, can you imagine paying $11,000 for a flight and not a very good flight? So,
not a very long
exactly.
flight.
Exactly. So, with in conclusion, we will be going to space in 5 years from now. And I will see you.
You want to bet? You want to bet? You want to put a bet on this?
Not what do you years, think will obviously. Contribute to like dropping the price down? If the price well,
so,
is
so
drop,
here's
what do you
here,
think?
I was just thinking about that. So going to space is expensive because rocket fuel is not cheap. R&D, blah blah blah. All they need to do is obviously, you know, we got to get past the paying for the R&D phase. So there will be a period of time where it's going to be more expensive than others. But if they design a rocket that can hold 50 to 100 people just for a fun commercial flight, once we've gotten past the initial paying for the R&D for that, you start splitting that cost 100 ways, it becomes much more affordable. So I don't think Matt's too far off by saying in 50 years it'll be more affordable. I completely agree that in maybe in 50 years it'll be a lot more feasible for your average person to go to space, but I'm willing to bet in at least half that time we start seeing prices start to drop dramatically. Oh, not like God. Affordable prices, dramatically, but like 30k or 20k.
Yeah, prices are gonna drop, but and I think it could be, you know, in maybe 5 to 10 years, it could drop to like, you know, $75,000 or $50,000. But here's the other thing too. Like you mentioned building bigger spacecrafts. When you build bigger spacecrafts, what do you have to do? More testing. So you have to to build the design. You have to build the design.
I completely agree.
More testing. And that's gonna take time. And this is a new like I mean, the FAA isn't just going to approve everything. You're going to have more timeline out there. So, you know, feasibility, you know, and I'm not going to be the first one to go on one of the new rockets, you know, that just got built. I want to make sure that it's going to last, you know,
here's
and
the
stuff
thing.
Like that.
Here's what's going to happen is in a couple of weeks, Jeff Bezos is going to go up into space. And then when he gets back, he's going to be like, everyone needs to experience this. So he's going to make an Amazon Basics rocket that's going to be affordable for the masses. And you can buy it on Amazon.
Tim, I kicked you once. Don't make me do it again.
Prime delivery. Prime delivery.
No,
to space.
It'll be what was I thinking? Oh, Prime Airlines or Prime.
And the Smile's going to have the rocket ship instead of the Arrow.
Ooh.
I will take anybody's bet 5 to 10 years from now. It will drop in price, but it will still not be anywhere close to what we will be able to afford.
Well,
I actually completely agree with you, Matt. I really do. I think that it'll be closer to 50 years plus before we start seeing it as a more feasible thing for the average person to do. And I'm even still going to put feasible in quotes. It's going to be like one of the things where it's like, you know, oh, we'll save up for Disney for a few years and then we'll go to Disneyland. You know, it'd be like one of those, like you save up for 5 years and then you can afford your 3 minute space flight.
And then
it's not going to be something that anybody could just drop with a dime, go do.
Yeah. And then again, too, it's going to be per person, Tim. So like you may not be able to bring your wife with you if you don't have enough money to bring two people. Like, I mean, you got to pay per seat on this aircraft. So it literally, like, if it drops to $50,000 per person and you and your wife wanted to go on a trip to space, that's $100,000 right there. You know, you get it down to 25, that's $50,000. Get it down to 10, that's 20. Like, I mean,
and it's like, even if they increase the time that you're in space by a little bit, I really don't think that it's worth like your entire life savings or whatever for like 5 minutes of weightlessness, true weightlessness in space.
Once people start posting pictures on Instagram from outer space, it will be over with. The hype will be done. You know, it won't be as fun for anybody to, like, you know.
Once the hype gets down, then Spirit will make their next rocket. And
oh,
then
never.
We'll get to the cheap
JetBlue,
and that cheap flight will still be $10,000 to $20,000.
So
imagine if Spirit made a rocket
and delayed.
The problem is rocket fuel is so expensive that honestly, like putting R&D aside, rocket fuel is so expensive. And that's, I mean, one of the biggest costs of going to space is how much fuel it takes to get somebody into space and how much that's going to cost. Now, granted, using a plane that can get us into the low, you know, the upper atmosphere is a good way to not use as much rocket fuel. I mean, I think that it's probably a cheaper way to do it, but I mean, it's still expensive. And I mean, there's a lot of safety that's going to have to go into it. A lot of people that are going to have to be certified to bring these untrained people into space. I mean, like I said, I agree with Matt. I think that it's going to be a long time before you can see the average
one of the interest
go to space.
One of the interesting things about that, like, whole how are we going to get to space and how is the costs going to work out for people and for the companies, like, Virgin Galactic seems like they're pretty much just focusing on luxury, right? Like getting people the experience of weightlessness in space. But it sounds like Blue Origin and SpaceX are more trying to build like freight lines and shrink the gap between Earth and space to enable business and exploration and traveling and like working in space. So I think Blue Origin and SpaceX will have a better time dropping their costs down for everybody versus Virgin Galactic, who's just trying to offer one particular product in space for people. I don't think that they will last compared to Blue Origin, but
and then
especially with the amount of money that Blue Origin is just being fucking gifted by the U.S. government, which is a whole nother conversation, but also complete garbage. they're set to succeed for sure.
And then you have WeWork who want to a desk where you can go up there and just sit there and work for the day up there at the office.
Hell yeah. Partnered with Blue Origin, WeWork.
Yeah, WeWork. I mean, literally, that would probably get them out of the financial problem that they're in right now.
If they partnered with
you know, SpaceX or Virgin Galactic to get a like a little capsule or a little ship that can just travel around the Earth for the day.
Matt Evans, you're about to get an email for like a board position. Where we work.
And an instant GooplyCast sponsorship.
Yeah, they can definitely be a sponsor here. I will definitely. But in all seriousness, so I think we should kind of shift to what this means for the future, because we've been to space. This is like the first, you know, it's going to be the first, you know, commercial flight to space. What does this mean for the future? Are we going to travel to the moon? Are we going to start making, you know,
Mars,
you know?
So we all know that competition breeds innovation. So instead of just having the civilian space agencies around the world, which are just going to do whatever, however the government's okay with, you now have these private businesses, whether they're contracted by the government, like SpaceX obviously is getting government contracts, Blue Origin, so on and so on. You now have these private companies that are going to compete that can invest a little bit deeper than the U.S. government necessarily can, because the U.S. government, you know, has their budgets, they've got to get passed by Congress, and there's a lot more red tape with the government expenses. And I think that innovation is going to help us get to Mars faster than if it was just NASA, you know, footing the bill and innovating to get us there. Nothing but good can come from this.
Yeah. So that's mostly that's nothing what, but good. That's one good point that you made, innovation, because innovation, you know, like the iPhone and like the Pixel phones, you know, they're better because they have competition, you know, and being like the SpaceX and Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic, you know, they're in competition with each other. They're having kind of a friendly thing, you know, because they were so close to launch, and, you know, one millionaire did it before the other. But competition, and that's what it's all about, you know. And I think that the billionaires have the money to do that. So I'm all for trying to see if we can get people to space. If you can, you know, build
build a, you know, hotel on Mars or whatever, you know, and we start sending people there and you experience it. But and one of the things that I brought up in the Discord, you know, and I didn't realize how much space trash that we had up there already. But we need to, I think there needs to be a new set of rules for what kind of stuff that we could do. Cause I feel like we're already polluting space by the amount of space trash that's out there. So
it's going to be hard. Cause like right now we're sending, you know, contained ships with luxury passengers into space to experience that. And they're probably not going to dump a bunch of trash. And I feel like humanity, or maybe the US government or whatever, is just bad at coming up with rules of engagement for problems that we know we're going to have, but we just wait until they're bad before we do anything but about it.
If we start sending regular trips to Mars or to the moon or wherever we go, like, what are we going to do with all the trash that we bring up there? Like, you know, I mean, we just can't leave it on.
I mean, what are we doing with the trash that we're creating on our own soil?
Well, again, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's the same thing, but I worry about, you know, especially with everything kind of going on now and the heat wave around the, you know, Pacific Northwest and all that.
Mars is effed. We're going to ruin that planet quick. This planet and that planet
it's
are
optimistic
gone.
To think that we are going to get there.
We're moving on. Fair enough. We're moving on. We have to think past Mars after we junk that planet and think about like how we're going to create sustainable like food products and packaging, because anything that we use to contain food right now is like plastic that doesn't decay for thousands of years or whatever. So we have to come up with like a new scheme for transporting materials and transporting food and maybe 3D printing food in space and getting nutrients from that, as opposed to just like,
what is that
sending
sentence
up
you just said? 3D what? Printing food? That's like, those are words that I never expected to hear strung together. That's wild.
Singapore is 3D printing food for retirement homes now, so they can get the right amount of nutrients for the people that are working there. Singapore is just fantastic in general. They're like way ahead, but in that particular area, they're 3D printing food. And they're supporting like vertical gardening. Is that what it's called? Vertical gardening, where you like grow inside of a building or whatever. Vertical farming, that's what it's called. So being able to farm food in more contained spaces with more control would help for any kind of extraplanetary exploration, because you won't have to have natural soil or any of that stuff, and you won't have to thrive off potatoes like Matt Damon did in The Martian. We can do a little bit more than that.
Yo, that movie slaps, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good-ass movie.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just saying we have options.
And this opens up the door to, like, the future, too, I think, and innovation, too, as well as, like, where we're going to go. Because you already said, you know, space travel could become the future eventually. What's out there in the universe? Are we going to travel to space, you know, and what's the first company that's gonna, you know, build a spaceship that can travel further than, you know, there.
It might not be SpaceX, it might not be Blue Origin 10 or 15 years from now. It could be Alibaba or something like that gets into the space race game, or some startup from Russia or some other country or something like that.
The United Federation of Planets.
Ooh, I don't know if we got a good enough role on this earth for that, but I'm hoping so.
I agree with what you said, Matt, about this opens up a lot more innovation, because but years ago, sending something to space like a satellite used to be a lot of work and a lot more expensive than it is now. But because of SpaceX and what they've done for the last several years, working on reusable rockets, you can actually go onto SpaceX's website and go to their rideshare page, and you can actually fill out the information, and you can send, it'll give you an estimate of how much it costs to send your satellites or whatever you want to space, because they already send regular rockets out to space. In fact, if you go and check out their YouTube channel, they constantly are live streaming all of their missions, and they're always clients that are deploying satellites. Like, I think there was one time, was it Russia? I don't remember. Another country that didn't have, they used SpaceX to send out satellites, and so they constantly are live streaming. You can always book stuff. Like, I'm looking at their list of available flights right now, and you can actually pick how much space you need on aboard their ship, and they'll deploy it for you in a location that you decide.
How much of that do you think is a sales or advertising for SpaceX, and not actually the process of sending something up?
I bet they take a 20% cut.
I just put in like the earliest date, which was 11/21. I put in 250 kilograms. It's $1.25 million.
Damn.
Estimated.
$1.25 kilograms.
No, 250 kilograms.
Oh, 250. Okay.
$1.25 million.
How much is that in Americanese?
That's 500 pounds. 250 kilograms is 550 pounds.
So, and then it gives you like an available port list and all that when you do it. It's funny though, they call it the rideshare program. I don't know if you mentioned that, Tim, but it's like Uber to space.
I mean, it's clever for them because they want to do a Tesla rideshare thing eventually. They're just going to be the whole automated rocket car company.
And Elon Musk was at the Virgin Galactic launch over the weekend as well. So he was definitely taking notes too. But I just thought about this. I guess we should send our own Goopy satellite.
Oh, forget beaming ditch content
Comcast,
directly.
Ditch Comcast altogether. powered by the Goopy satellite.
Anything to ditch Comcast.
Well, I mean, we have that much money in the bank to send this satellite up there. I mean, we have that millions of dollars.
Why aren't we going to space?
We might as well do it.
Then why aren't we on this next SpaceX trip, Roy? If we have the money, like,
you tell me.
Those YouTube videos where they ship themselves somewhere? Like, it's like, I just ship myself to this person's house, and it's like they live in a box for like 3 days or something. Can we do that with SpaceX? Be like,
probably get a small shipping container, seal it, and then have everything we need in there.
I'm in space.
I don't know how we get back, but
figure that out.
Let me know how that works, Tim.
Hey, you just you know how you're in a swimming pool and you just swim? You could do that in space towards the atmosphere.
Mm.
Oh, it even goes up more because you still have to pay for everything else, and then you have to pay for the fuel, and then you have to get insurance.
Hold up, time out.
That price just secures you a spot on the ship. It doesn't pay for anything else.
No, it just secures your satellite. That's all. That's what it costs to get your satellite there. The maximum insurance you could do is $2 million.
This is starting to sound like an ambulance ride.
I did $200,000 of insurance, and that's $10,000 right there. And then you have to pay for the electric connectivity to the launch pad, the separation system. I just did the cheapest separation system, and that was $230,000. The port adapter. I just did again. The smallest one, $15,000.
Elon, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean there's so much add-ons here. and then you put in your contact information and then the point of contact.
Do they charge you that? Do they charge you $10 an email?
Oh, they don't, but then you have to put in your payment information. So for this one, which was $1.5 million.
Do they take American Express?
$1.5 million. You have to put in your credit card information, which is for $5,000, which is due today and not refundable. And then you can do an installment plan for schedules. So it'd be $1 million.
Oh, good.
It'd be a little over $1 million would be your first installment. And then your second one would be a little under $500,000.
your second one.
We can crowdfund.
You could buy first a house, or you could fund this satellite that we're going to be sending to space that will probably be broadcasting Cooking with Tim.
Your final payment. Go ahead.
I can afford the down payment that's due today. I may need a little help coming up with the first installment. Just a little bit of help.
You gotta go to the bank and convince them. You have to dress up nice. You go to the bank and say, listen, I want to send a box into space.
I'm running into a big dilemma here. I can either pay for our second installment or pay my taxes. Oh, rough.
Second installment, bro. Come on.
I wonder if this is tax deductible. Is this a tax deductible for putting out?
Nah, y'all haven't paid me anything yet, so definitely not.
We should launch SpaceCoin and use that to fund
a rocket. Oh, tax return. Just go to space. It's up there.
That's a that's a fun hot topic. We could be like some esports organizations and you know, shell some coins that don't really exist. That could be fun.
Just make our own cryptocurrency.
SpaceCoin already exists. Plan failed.
Fuck. Sorry. Nice try, man. Damn. Nice try.
Yeah.
Also the future is the future too of are we alone in the space? Does anybody have theories on that, or do you think they have a planet out there that they're monitoring us on a satellite and they're just going, oh, these fools are just getting to space now?
I used to think that the universe is, or not the universe, but space is too vast for us to not have like some other being, but I haven't thought about it for some time.
I've thought about it a lot, especially I know that the UFO, I don't know if it's come out yet or not, but it was coming out. We should look at that and maybe do another topic on that USO. But I know that they had talked about it. The government had said that there's some things that they can't explain, you know? So I honestly feel like that we're not alone in the universe and there is other people out there. And I don't know if they're watching us from, you know, another galaxy or something like that. But I think it's, we can't be the only ones around here. It's been interesting that we're still here. And it kind of goes to the whole thing too, like you know, Star Trek, you know, and I'm not saying Star Trek is like real or anything, but like it's just like it's a different thing, you know, like do they have rules, you know, that they don't engage with people, you know, or stuff like that?
Like we could be one of those planets that they're observing hidden somewhere, but not interacting with us and just kind of waiting for us to figure it out. The prime directive. Basically.
The prime directive, you know, so, and
the fact that we exist, and I'm just gonna our species specifically, human beings, the fact that we exist is a pretty big mathematical improbability. The fact that life exists on this planet and the conditions were just right to breed life is a mathematical improbability. I'm not naive enough to say that could not happen elsewhere in the universe, but knowing how old the universe is and saying that mathematical improbability is happening at the same time that our mathematical improbability is happening is a pretty, I mean, those are not odds that I would be willing to bet on. I'd be willing to bet that there is some sort of extraterrestrial life out there, but whether or not they've died off centuries or millions or billions of years ago or they've yet to happen, I think is probably the more likely conversation.
I would,
of whether or not they exist at the same time as us.
I would also like to know what those odds are before I like, because you present a very convincing argument, but you say that odds are that they do not exist at the same time as we do. But I would still like to see those numbers before I like conclusively form an opinion on it.
I don't have any hard.
Yeah. I mean,
are you familiar with Carl Sagan? I believe it was
the Yoshi's Island speedrunner. I made that joke for like literally one nebulous listener out there. But anyways.
Wow. Fantastic. Carl Sagan was an astronomer, and I believe it was him that came up with like a hypothesis about how likely it would be for a civilization to get to even get to a point where they have advanced enough technology where they could travel the galaxy and observe other planets and stuff. And if I'm remembering correctly, a lot of it hinged on the fact that like the civilization had the building blocks for becoming that futuristic civilization. They survived themselves. Like they didn't kill each other off down to some kind of like extinction level, either by war or by like nuclear catastrophe or something like that, or playing with, you know, physics and the fabrics of reality or whatever, and eliminating themselves that way. So like, not only do you have all the pitfalls that could befall a civilization up to becoming spacefaring and space competent, but you also have the amount of distance and time it would take for them to even get to us or to other habitable or habited worlds. I believe it was Carl Sagan who looked into that. So he's a cool guy to look into if you're curious about space travel.
And one of the OGs, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I personally think that somewhere outside of the simulation nest that we live in, probably some organic life somewhere.
The other thing too, like, is to know that like we're, because like Roy said too, like about the fact that we might not exist at the same time, but we're not the first inhabitants to this planet either. Dinosaurs lived like 66
well, that goes
million,
to speak to that.
Rawr.
Yeah, but like, you know, so there could be other planets out there, I feel like, too, at the same time that us are out there, you know, because again, we weren't the first planets here. There could be another planet out there where dinosaurs live, or, you know, some other type of, you know, animal and stuff like that. You know, so it's interesting, you know, to see all the theories around.
Have you ever looked at when they put the whole history of the Earth into what it would look like if it was in a single calendar year? Like humans exist. Like look it up. It's pretty cool. Basically, humans exist like in the last half of the last minute before midnight on New Year's Eve. And we're talking like seconds before the stroke of midnight is where we exist as humans, the human race. Everything else that has happened in the history of the Earth takes place the other 364 in 0.99 days. Okay. And that's every mass extinction that's happened in the course of our planet's history. That's our planet forming and cooling enough for inhabitants to be on it, the primordial ooze, our galaxy to form, our star to form, our solar system to form. There's such a large chunk of time when you put it on a relative scale that you can think about. And I think thinking about it in the course of a year is probably the easiest way to try to wrap your head around how large of a history our planet has. And that's just our planet. That's not any other planet in the universe that has existed, which there are countless many out there. I mean, there's countless galaxies. Like, we just don't know how many there are out there. And I have a hard time thinking that there could be another planet with a civilization, especially a civilization that has advanced a civilization enough to be spacefaring, to exist at the same time as us. My linear brain cannot wrap itself around the idea that it's possible or even probable that they could be existing at the same time as us. But like, and I said, I'm not naive enough to say that it's not possible or that there's not life out there. That's all I had to say.
And I agree with you on that too. I mean, there could be, I mean, we don't know how big the universe is. You know, so it just, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And which is another thing too, like I've been really interested about the Mars trip, because was there life on Mars before? We don't believe there's life on Mars now. We don't have any indication that there's life on Mars now or anything, but you know, was there life on Mars before? And
You know, I mean, that guy's, that's the ultimate goal we're trying to figure out with the rovers and all that, you know, that we're sending up there. So
is there some kind of history that happened up there? One of the hypotheses, something that I heard was that Mars might have had life and then it got hit by something, destroyed all life on Mars, but sent some fraction of whatever life existed on Mars into Earth, and that wound up being what we are. So we could have started as some kind of life form or bacteria on Mars or something like that, and then got cast to Earth in some kind of space event. So it's
probably, yeah. How much mayhem do you think that would cause if that came out to be true?
Oh, it'd be delicious mayhem. Be the right kind of mayhem.
Oh, I was right on.
I love that. I love that conspiracy theory.
Dinosaurs lived 66 million years ago. I was right.
What did you say, Roy? I didn't catch that.
I was saying, I actually, as much as I don't actually buy into that theory, I do love that theory that we started our life on Mars, and we basically trashed that planet so badly that we had to come to Earth, and obviously that's lost in history, and here we are doing it again, thinking like, hey, let's go to this other planet and let's terraform it and live there. We're just going to keep bouncing back and forth.
We live long enough to see ourselves become the villain of the planet, and then we just move on.
Yes,
essentially we're going to destroy this planet, and then we're going to find out the ability that we're ship ourselves to Mars again.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It haunts me.
Don't forget
that we might not have gotten a good enough role to have like the enough materials on our planet to make the mistakes of deep space travel, and then get deep space travel. Like we might have enough material for like a couple of tries, fail at those, and then never be able to do it again. That scares me probably the most. I hope we have enough of whatever resource we wind up needing to create or harvest or whatever, either on our planet or local in our star system, in order to do like deep space travel of some kind. Because I would hate if we effed it up for future generations.
Yeah.
Getting definitely. To Mars is the first step. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is the first step. If we can make it out of our planet and actually set up a colony, even if it's setting up a colony on the moon, once we can start branching out as a species outside of our terrestrial home, I have much better hopes for the future of the human race. Because like you said, one of your biggest fears is that we'll never get to that point. I'm completely with you. If we haven't gotten to the point where we can colonize somewhere else by the time that our sun's ready to swallow up our Earth, we kind of
have, I think, a fair amount of time. The space has given us a fair amount of time to get our shit together. So I hope we can make it work. What would make you guys comfortable to, I mean, I guess this is really two questions. What would make you feel comfortable that we could handle local space travel or colonization? That's the first question. The second question is, let's say you are going, or no, would you be comfortable with cryogenic sleep? That's the second question.
I would be comfortable with cryogenic sleep, but as for the first question, I wouldn't be comfortable with like any extensive space travel as long as people on Earth are not being taken care of. We have way too many problems here to start expending so many resources outside of here. I might just be a dirty lefty, but we got too many people we got to take care of that aren't being taken care of.
As long as we have the governments of the world fighting the way they're fighting, hell, as long
they're
as we
fighting
the
what?
The fighting the way they're fighting over basic things. Like I watched a video on Twitter. Some Republican representative at CPAC was like, "We're here to tell the government we don't want handouts. We don't want their welfare." And I'm just like, "Is anybody going to tell her that the state that she's from is one of the highest welfare recipients in the country?" Like, as long as we have people that are insistent upon fighting facts and fighting, coming together to solve the basic problems that Joe was pointing out, I don't have any confidence in our ability to travel really extraterrestrial on a major scale.
Yeah, that's because where I'm at.
Something like that, in my opinion, is going to take not just a country cooperation, but international
cooperation. So you guys think that there's not enough cohesion on our planet, for one, and then two, there's still a lot of suffering and a lot of people falling between the gaps, that all the resources that we would be using for space, we could reorient to solving lots more problems on Earth before we invest too much in space travel.
It's a mixed problem because I think we could reinvest the way we are allocating that money, but I don't think we will. So at this point, I think things will still end up leading towards private companies going into space. So I don't really know how things are going to go. Of course, I'm not in control, nor do I know the best course of action. But seems like we're heading up north into the atmosphere.
Well, and I agree with both you and Roy and Tim, or excuse me, Joe. The mess that we have going on down here right now is crazy. Homelessness. What we have to deal with things here before we travel to another space and try and, if like Matt said, colonization of another planet. Like, we need to figure out things here first, how to manage things before we go managing another planet or another colony, because we need to make sure that we're not polluting that planet, and making the same mistakes that we've done here. We need to make sure that we deal with homelessness and drug addiction and stuff like that, before we go sending these people off of there. Otherwise, we're just going to have two messes to clean up rather than one.
Has anybody watched For All Mankind? I know that Matt's the only other person with Apple TV Plus, but anybody watch For All Mankind? It's an Apple TV program. It's set in an alternate history where Russia makes it to the moon first. Russia put the first woman on the moon. It was actually the third person to go to the moon was a Russian woman. We set up bases on the moon for mining water and lithium. In the second season, they get to a point where, spoilers, by the way, the Russians take over an American mining site, and we're in the 80s.
Too late. Too late. Full steam ahead.
You good, Matt?
Oh, he hasn't
seen
it. So I haven't seen the second season yet.
I haven't even finished the first season, but I do know what happens in the first season. So.
Okay, without getting too spoilery, then there's international incidents in space, and it highlights the fact that there's so much infighting here on the Earth that the second that we start colonizing, unless we can cooperate internationally, we're gonna have Chinese settlements and American settlements and Russian settlements and English settlements and French settlements. And we have to come up with whole new rules of engagement for space, because everybody's going to want to, come up with their own claim. And how do we handle incidents that are millions of miles away, where there's no backup for years, potentially, from Earth? You could have communication delays, like things are going to happen. We could have international incidents that could cause a war here on Earth that happens millions of miles away with no context for us.
That's a scary situation to be in, because you would have people with all different ways that they want to colonize, from different backgrounds, from different cultures, from different societies, all congregating on a planet, maybe in separate spaces, so they're all trying to colonize in a particular way that works for them. But then they might have to trade, or there might be like on colonized planet trading between groups, and like, how do you regulate that? Do they have their own economy that's completely separate from Earth? Do they have their own government that has like a kind of thread that Earth attaches to them, even though they're millions of miles away? One of the things that you guys brought up was fixing like relatively the low-hanging fruit on Earth before colonizing and sending a bunch of people out that might carry those same burdens out into space. I think it was probably Elon Musk who believes in kind of the opposite of that, that we'll probably never figure it out here, but there, and there's probably no time because we'll never figure it out here. So we should start colonizing and making all of those mistakes as quick as possible because we'll probably never get it right. Do you guys see any truth in that kind of perspective?
Point one that I operate from when I take Elon Musk into consideration is fuck yeah. Elon Musk. Absolutely fuck that guy. I don't vibe with him at all, so I might be alone here, so I'd love to hear the other opinions, but that's where I stand.
I see his point of view. I don't agree with his point of view. I think that we can still fix our mistakes here. It's hard to believe because I think that we're you know pretty divided right now, and you know we need to try and fix that. But I have this intuition that we shouldn't move into another state. Otherwise, we're just going to be divided. And what happens if, you know, one set of group goes to set up a colony and then we get in a fight or a war with them, you know, and then it's like a, you know, I mean, it just like Roy said, you know, there's no like mainstream communication to that galaxy or that area, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, we don't know what challenges we're going to have when we colonize on another planet. What happens if there's some type of disease on that planet that infects everybody, you know, and stuff like that. And we need the help of, you know, so, you know, planet Earth to help us with this, and or vice versa. What happens if we send all the scientists, you know, there? We don't have scientists for here, and there's something, you know, we have another, you know, COVID-19 or, you know, outbreak or something like that, you know, like at the same time, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like it's a bad idea right now to try and colonize or to try and move towards that. I do understand Elon's must, you know, but I still kind of believe somewhat that we will somehow unite, may be a while, but I believe and I hope in that you know we'll fix some of the problems we have here.
And certainly that kind of conversation, that kind of level of colonization where we can send multiple people across either our star system or the galaxy in general, super far off, we're still in 2 minutes of space, maybe up to 11 minutes of space time. So there's a long way to go. And so like SpaceX, I think they're doing like the most comprehensive, like out of Earth space product package thing. Aren't they delivering people to the International Space Station?
Yes.
Yes.
They've been doing that for, I want to say they started, was it this last summer with the Dragon capsule?
Mm-hmm.
That was when they sent Bob and Doug to the International Space Station. That was the first ever mission from SpaceX that included people. And they did it again not that long ago, I want to say, with four people this time, and it was the same mission again in the Dragon capsule going to the International Space Station. Yeah, it was it was pretty cool, like when that happened, just because a lot of what SpaceX is doing is reusing rocket parts and everything. And I know I personally, I'm going to go back a little bit to Elon Musk. I know, Joe, what you said earlier, I can see why there's a lot of anger with him. Like a lot of people don't like him. I personally think he's doing a lot of good things for humanity. A lot of the, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with everything he posts on Twitter.
Dogecoin, buy Doge.
So I don't necessarily.
Hey, yeah. Tim, I'm just going to say tread carefully because he has the ban feature. Just remember that.
True.
That ban once. You don't want a permanent ban from the Discord.
And I'm not going to say anything I like to focus on the good things he's done, like with SpaceX, the reusable rockets, What else is he doing? Starlink, getting internet service to other places by sending satellites using his own space program. I don't necessarily think everything that he does is great, like Tesla, the fact that there is no right to repair on your own stupid car.
Dogecoin!
is kind of... I don't think that's a good thing, but... I mean, I think he's doing, he popularized electric cars a lot.
Very true.
Electric cars kind of sucked before Tesla. He's done a lot of good things, and I can see how it can come off as, I asked my brother, he was I want to say it was like 2014, 2015. He was the biggest. He loved Elon Musk. He was like, I think everything Elon Musk is doing is super great. And I'm a big fan. And this last Christmas, I asked him, so what do you think of Elon Musk? He's like, that idiot is so annoying. huge change.
Man, Elon pre-power trip was pretty level-headed, pretty reasonable.
Oh, yeah. I loved all the things he was doing back in, 2014, 2015. I thought he was great.
Now he has so much power, he can just casually mention things and, like, markets move and cryptocurrencies explode. So he is definitely in a position that's super, super unique. And in the future, we can look back at everything that he did and everything that he said and judge him for both his actions and his words. Just sucks that we kind of have to deal with him figuring all of this stuff out and being super controversial while he's at it.
Well, I think that is a good place to leave it, unless anybody else has any final thoughts. I mean, I think this went a lot of different ways than the way I thought it was going to, but it was always good conversation.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of space travel, and I'm a huge fan of just seeing how things go. I understand there's a lot of things going on Earth that are bad right now, and but a lot of
innovation going on.
Yeah, I like looking up and seeing what's going on with space. That's ultimately for me. I don't know about you guys, but that's a lot of the times what gets me excited about things that are going on is space.
And I'm with you, Tim. So I'm excited. I'm excited for this, and I'm excited for next week when Jeff Bezos does his capsule launch.
Yeah.
And I absolutely hope that it's successful. We didn't talk about this much, but Virgin Galactic also, it was the space program before that, lost somebody in one of their launches too. So this hasn't come without sacrifices that we've made in this field. So I hope that everything happens well on the 20th for Blue Origin, and that everything goes on, because again, we don't want setbacks, you know, because that'll just slow things down. So I hope everything goes well, and he has a speedy trip to space and back.
Yeah. Even if we don't get Amazon basic rockets or to where it actually becomes affordable to go to space, I'm still very excited to see the next rovers go to Mars to pick up the samples that are currently up there and sent back to Earth, or seeing what more pictures are being taken of the Mars rover, or from the Mars rover. The drone up there has done some really cool, I highly recommend, if you haven't already watched any of the footage or seen any of the photos that the drone has already taken while it's been on space or
Mars. So cool.
Yeah, no, I follow it all the time. I'm checking it every week, so it's really fun to see what's going on there. And like I said, I'm really excited to see Mars. I wonder if somebody's gonna walk around the corner on Mars and knock on this rover and be like, "Hello, anybody in there?" somebody with a big knife or something like that, one of those sticks or something, comes out of a cave, you know. But yeah, so anyways. So I think this is a good place to leave it, and good conversation.
Well, we want to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the GooplyCast. And a big thanks to you if you're listening to our podcast. Look for our replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show. You can join in, and also for when we share new tech-related content. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joe, we appreciate you so much for watching and listening, whether here on Earth or in outer space. We'll catch you next time on the GooplyCast.
Thanks for listening to the GooplyCast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Gooply. And remember, you can stream the GooplyCast on your favorite podcasting app or Gooply.com.